My next guest is here in the studio. He's been coming in quite frequently. We've had a series of items on, well, green subjects, really. It's Colin Tracy. Good afternoon to you, Colin. Welcome again
to
the studio.
Good afternoon, Rob. Nice to see you again.
Today we're going to talk about, thermal solar panels, but that's our subject for in a minute. Tell us about your green energy project. You were telling me just now that you've got a scheme that you're working on at the moment. Tell me all about that.
Yeah, it's called the Green Living Project, and it's something that small groups within the community, whether it's your street or whether it's in your village or whatever, can get together. And we meet for eight sessions. So there's an introductory session, and then there's a session studying our own use of water, energy, food, and so on.
Yeah. So have you got funding for this?
No, it's just this Sustainable Dorset have instigated this, and originally it comes from the Transition Towns movement, and it's been modified to make it Dorset specific, and the group of us have just completed this course.
That's David Taylor chatting outside the studio. I do apologise for that. So if you would like to start a similar project in your area, how'd you go about doing that?
Well, you can contact Sustainable Dorset. You can have a look on the Sustainable Dorset website, and the Green Living Project is very prominent on that. You can register to set up a group, and it basically just takes one or two people to initiate it, and then get a team of between four and six or eight people together, and agree to sort of meet once a month. It could be once a fortnight, whatever suits you, really.
So I guess the object of the exercise, really, is a bit like we're doing now, informing people of what is available to help them save money, to save energy, to go green, etc.
Yeah, it's very much about that. It's about, on the one hand, it's about saving energy, it's about saving food, it's about saving water, but it's also about saving money. Because if you use less water, you use less energy, then you save yourselves money on your bills.
So how can people find out more about this group and form in their own group?
Like I say, go to the Sustainable Dorset website and register for your group there. You're also welcome to talk to people via the Sustainable Dorset website, and if you're unclear about what to do.
Sounds interesting. Let's hope lots of people take up your offer there and form lots of these groups. Can you give them advice on how to get started and maybe get guest speakers to come along to these groups, could you?
Yeah, you could do that. There's a manual with a lot of information about the global and national situation in relation to water, travel, food waste and so on. And then it becomes much more localised. So you start off by taking your own carbon footprint. There are various websites where you can measure your own carbon footprint. And the idea is that you reduce your carbon footprint by the end of the course, because you do it again at the end of the course and see what difference it's made.
And have you got any results from any of this so far, or is it too early yet to tell?
It's a bit early to tell. From the seven of us did it in Martinstown, and we've actually carried on meeting because we actually got on well together, and we wanted to continue the exploration. And basically all of us have adjusted our lives a little bit to make a difference, to save on food, save on electricity and so on.
It sounds like a good way of getting to know your neighbours as well, and you know, because you've got something in common with them. You're all trying to save on energy bills for a start. That's important, isn't it? It sounds like a great scheme. It's a win-win situation, isn't it?
It is a win-win situation, and it's really not very onerous at all. It's not hard work. Basically, we met in each other's houses, so we rotated where we met, and whoever was hosting it sort of supplied some nibbles and a few drinks and so on, and we had a really good time over it. There is some serious stuff in there about the state of the planet, and I think that one of the really satisfying things about it was that we felt we were making adjustments in our own lives and making a little bit of difference. And like you say, the community aspect is very important.
So there are benefits socially as well as economically, really, you could say, couldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. We certainly made some new friends, yeah.
Well, don't go away, because we've got to talk about solar thermal heating next, because a lot of people don't even know about solar thermal, do they? You know, they all know about PV panels, which generate electricity.
Yeah.
Not too many people, I don't think, know about solar thermal. And today we're talking about solar thermal and, heating and hot water, basically, aren't we? Just explain, first of all, about the solar panels, the solar thermal panels. How do they work?
Well, again, I'm not an expert, but when we lived in Dorchester, we had them installed on our house there. They're basically a series of tubes in line, glass tubes, and they've got a heat conductor sort of within the center of those, and special gases within those. And at the top of the tubes, they go into like a water system. So there's a water system that loops around into your hot water tank.
Sort of zigzags around the panels, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Absorbs the energy from the sun, and then that's pumped into a storage tank, for want of a better word.
Yeah, it's pumped into a storage tank. That then heats your domestic hot water, and then you can use that, obviously, for whatever you like.
Now, the proper name for the heat tank is a heat store, isn't it? These are like immersion tanks, but they're super well insulated, aren't they, to keep the heat in?
Yep, it's super well insulated and generally much bigger than your ordinary sort of hot water tank, which is probably 150, 175 litres. I can't remember the size of the one we had in Dorchester, but it's much bigger than that.
So there's obviously a primary system that pumps the water from the panels into a heat exchanger coil inside the tank. That's how it works, and it basically looks like a spring. And then you've got a tank full of water that it heats up by, you know, exchanging the heat into the water contained in the tank.
Yep.
That's a good description, isn't it? Really, that's how it works, isn't it?
That's about as far as my knowledge goes as well.
Okay, so you've got a pump for the primary, basically, and then, you know, the secondary works very much like an immersion tank, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So the primary loop is full of antifreeze, obviously, because in the winter you don't want it freezing up, and that's a completely sealed loop. And like you say, that kind of coils down into your hot water tank.
Yeah, if you're really smart, you'll have said, if you're listening now, that water is going to expand and contract when it heats and contracts. But that's easy solved because they put an expansion tank in to cure that problem, don't they?
Yep, that's right. Yep, yeah.
So I know about these things. So you actually had one of these systems in Dorchester. How did you find it?
We found it really, really good. We actually had a combi boiler as well, and normally they don't fit them with combi boilers, but they can be fitted. And what they did was they fitted a motorized valve,
a diverter valve.
So when the water in the solar system was at a certain temperature, then it cut off the combi boiler, or the water going into the combi boiler, and then you would use just the hot water from your storage tank.
And of course, the marvellous, what it does is sort of preheats the water, doesn't it? So the boiler just sort of tops it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And in the winter, how efficient were these things?
Well, obviously, the efficiency is much, much lower. But I don't know how you measure it. I mean, obviously, in the summer, we had hot water pretty much on demand the whole time.
For free? For absolutely free once you pay for the installation.
Once you pay for the system.
Free is good, isn't it? I like free.
It certainly feels like it's free, despite the fact you spent quite a few £1,000s. Yeah.
I was going. That was my next question, actually, Colin. You sort of beat me to it. What sort of cost would it be? I mean, obviously, you had yours installed quite a few years ago now, but roughly off the top of your head, what are we talking? How many thousands of pounds?
I honestly can't say now. We had ours installed, it must have been 15 or 16 years ago in Dorchester, and I think it was about £6,000 or £7,000 then.
Now, what we ought to say is not only does it heat the water, but you can use it to heat your radiators as well, can't you, if you really want to sort of base, you know, with the boiler, in conjunction with the boiler, to raise the water from, you know, stone cold to a sort of a reasonable temperature, and then the boiler does the rest. It just tops it up.
Yeah, then the boiler doesn't have to work quite so hard either. We didn't have that system. Our system purely heated the domestic hot water. So
brilliant stuff. Well, thanks for coming in again today. What are we going to talk about next?
Well, we could take each of those subjects from the Green Living Project and look at water and how to save money by saving water.
Yeah, rainwater harvesting and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and using less in the home.
Sort of using grey water, which is very popular abroad, isn't it? We'll even explain to you, good listeners, what grey water actually is. Are we good?
We're good.
We are very good. Between us, we good can team. Get to grip with this technology. Thanks for joining us today, Colin.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Thank you.